sunshine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. The cool front has made its way into Oklahoma, or the cold front, let me rephrase that. It looks like it's halfway through Roger Mills County. I know the wind's already shifted here. Currently, 58 degrees at slap out. 90 degrees at Hollis. Matter of fact, speaking of Hollis, they tied the record yesterday at 95 degrees. 71 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 65 at Camargo. 61 at Alva. 60 at Woodward, home of the world famous coil operator, Mark Klingenpil. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, we got 61 at Lipscomb, 64 at Miami, 88 at Wellington, and 86 at Odell. Today, I got Mr. Kent Watkins in the studio with me from SEI Agritech. We're going to go over our, as we do every month, the five armors of soil. And then we're going to be talking about wheat, rye, triticale, anything if you're going to harvest it, some tricks of the trade, and also weed control, mainly those maritails. Horse weeds, whatever you want to call that. So we got a great show in front of us. But first, let's check out some prices. Corn is up 4 cents today at 472 for December. March is 487. November is soybeans 1357, up over 8 cents. January's 1366. Soybean meal December 452.70. $5.30. Man, it's getting on up there. January, $4.41.80, up $3. Just to give you an idea about soybean meal, because I've been reading these reports for the last 2 years. Up until here recently, soybean meal has been anywhere from $3.60 to $4.05. We're at $4.52.70 now. Soybean oil, December, $49.41, down 0.08 cents. January, $48.82, and March is $48.78. Hard red winter wheat, up 16 cents today, which is great. December, $6.50, March, $6.60, and May is $6.67. Cotton, not so good. December cotton, $74.87, down 1.6 cents. March is $77.76. And May is 79.15. I'm going to stop there on cotton. I've had people more than probably I can count on one hand asking me about cotton burrs. Best thing for you to do is start at the cotton gin closest to you and work your way out to see if they got any. I know they don't mind supplying other farmers with cotton burrs, but anyway, just try them out. You got them. You got the Western Planters at Hobart. You got the one at Pampa, Lone Star Gin, you got the other locals there at Burns Flat, Clinton, Dotson, wherever. So anyway, just start there and work your way out where on deal. They'll take care of you if they got it. So anyway, just letting you know. Live cattle for December, 179.55, up 77 cents. February's 179.37, up 95 cents. April's 181.47, up 87 cents. Let's see. Feeder cattle, November, 234.27, up over $2 at 205. January's 232.42, up $1.60. And March is 234.75, up $1.50. And April's 238.45, up $1.35. Well, the hogs look like they're losing what they gained yesterday. December lean hogs, 71.42, down $1.47. February, 74.12, down $1.90. April, 79.85, down $1.40. Looks like the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ are all in the red today. See what oil's doing. Just then it keeps going down. West Texas Intermediate crude oil for December is at $75.06, down $2.31 today. January, $75.04. Natural gas, where are you at? December, $3.06. January, $3.35. Other than that, everything is just the grains and the cattle look pretty decent today for the most part. Everything else is in the red. Okay, up here in the northern part of Oklahoma, so far this week, here's some of the results from cows and bulls, slaughtered bulls and cows and some bred cows. Compared to last week, slaughtered cows are down $4 to $6. Slaughtered bulls are $2 to $4 lower. Demand is moderate for slaughter cattle and active for good quality replacement females. So anyway, that's popped up a couple times there in the last week. So people are thinking, let's go with some breaker cows. Look like about 40 heads sold so far, ranging anywhere from 1403 to 1585 in weight, bringing anywhere from 9519 to 104 on the average. Boner cows, quite a few of those, ranging average weights range from anywhere from 983 to 1286. Average price is anywhere from 80 to 101.03. Lean cows, almost 100 head of them sold so far in northwestern Oklahoma. Weight range anywhere from 910 to 1169, the heaviest. Average price anywhere from 71.93 to 92.62. So they're down a little bit. Bulls, about 25 head, ranging in the weight wise, 1644 to 1851. Price range 93.05 to 115 was the high sell. Bred cows, medium and large number ones, 5 to 8 year olds. Looks like 120. What they're saying here, and then some 8 year olds, quite a few of those weighing 1134, we're bringing up to $1.14. Bred cows, medium and large number one, 2 to 4 year olds, we're bringing 1435. Some 5 to 8 year olds, we're bringing up to 1525, and some 8 year olds, we're bringing up to $1460. So it looks like average price high end was $1435 for the younger ones. Bred heifers, looks like they sold about 60 of those. Weight on them was 1055, brought anywhere from 2125 to 2800. Average price on those, 2464. Cow-calf pairs, medium and large number ones with 150-pound or less calves on them, we're bringing 2650. Medium and large number one pairs, 150 to 300-pounders, we're bringing $1,900. And cow-calf pairs, medium and large number ones, over 300-pound calves on them, we're bringing $2,125. So there you have it. Okay, well, let's go ahead. Today is, every time you're on, it's the Taylor Ranch, isn't it? It's the Taylor Ranch happy hour today. And I'll have more on the Taylor Ranch coming up with you here shortly, coming up for you here shortly. And when we get back, I'll have Mr. Kent Watkins on here, and I have your update on your weather out in the Texas Panhandle. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
SEI Agritech excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Hour. 76.5 degrees on the Gabe Gadsden Mezzanet Center. 20% humidity. Winds are out of the north at 9 miles an hour. Wellington, Texas, 88 degrees. Heat index is 84. Humidity is 12%. Dew point's 30. The winds are out of the west at 17 miles an hour. Today's peak wind gust so far, 30 miles an hour. No month-to-date precipitation. No red flag minutes today. No sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature is 62 degrees, which ain't bad for November, is it, Kent?
No, that's all right.
Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech here in Elk City is on the show with us today. And I don't know. I think we have a lot of weird years in agriculture, but this one just seems really weird.
Yeah, it does. I used to think, you know, maybe we could get back to normal, but it's been so messed up for so long, I don't know what normal is anymore.
And, you think it was an atomic test that changed our weather pattern?
I don't know.
Or Brandon flying over us with some stuff spraying?
That may have been it right there.
But anyway, our soil temperature is 62 degrees, so if you got moisture and you're planting rye, wheat, triticale, whatever, you're getting it up.
Yeah, it's going to come up. It won't take 3 or 4 weeks like it normally would this time of year. It's going to come on up.
It's going to come right on up in there. But anyway, so what do you got on our – let's go over our five
– pillars of soil health.
Pillars. I know I said it different while ago.
Yeah, just make it up as you go, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's the way I
– Five pillars of soil health, what we always start with. For us on the southern plains, the most important is armor on the soil. Keep the soil covered up.
Yeah.
It'll stop the leaching. It'll stop the erosion, the wind erosion if you're in the sand, or, you know, the washing if we get rain, heavy rain. It'll stop all that. Low disturbance, that means no tillage. Is, you know, guys talk to me about turbo tills. That's still tillage. So no tillage. And I see a lot of fields still tilled up this year. For, you know, wheat, they're just candidates to be able to blow this winter, because we're not going to get enough cover, probably, to keep them from blowing.
Right.
diversity in plant life. So that's a multi-species cover crop at some time through the year. It may not be your cash crop, but there's a period of time with everybody's cropping system that they don't have a cash crop on the ground, and that's when they need to put the cover crop in. The living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible. And I have people ask, why do you care about that? It's to keep the underground life alive, because most of that, the microbes live, survive, and remultiply, reproduce around that root system. They got to have that living root to be able to survive. So you don't want to start the year every year when you go into your cash crop with a deficit in microbes, because when you put down your commercial fertilizer, it's not just a matter of getting it melted into the ground or sprayed on and rained in. The commercial fertilizer, every bit of it, has to go through the microbes to become usable. And if you have a lot less microbes, it takes a lot longer to become usable.
Right.
So that's why you want that. And then the last one is livestock, where it fits, where you have water. And if you have fencing or don't have fencing, with cattle prices the way they are right now, pretty sure you could probably find somebody to rent a piece of ground from you that's got forage on it that wouldn't mind doing some fencing.
Right.
So those are the five pillars, and they don't change. They're the same all the time.
Well, back to your first one. I mean, I've been no-tilling basically my whole time where the farm is right now. Maybe not so much doing it right, but I'm learning.
Yep.
And I have noticed the response I get from some people on no-till is you got the ground's too hard.
Yeah.
Well, if you go with that other pillar and have living roots in there at different depths in the soil, I haven't found a piece of my ground yet by doing it that way that I have any hard ground.
Yeah, and the other thing that people tend to forget about is the amount of cattle that they put on a place. We have a bad habit here in western Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle in this area of just using set stocking rates, and instead of cell grazing, so they just go out and, you know, they dump out 20 or 30 head on a place and let them go wherever they choose to. So they build a surface hard pan, and it's not the amount of beef that's on an acre, it's the duration of time that they're standing on that acre. So if you can move them, put a lot of cattle on there and then move them, and then just keep moving them around like in a wagon wheel formation type thing, you'll find that surface hard pan will go away. It's duration of time more than anything else.
Right. Well, got that there. It works. I mean, I'm not by far not perfect at it yet, but learning some good things through you and I like it. Matter of fact, some of it was pretty loose with the big cover crop I had on.
Yeah.
So,
and you're going to get to see on that place where you have the bare ground.
Yeah.
Versus where you rolled down.
Right.
Side by side. You're going to get to see it firsthand this year.
Yeah.
How that works out.
Yeah, I've already got pictures of the tilled and then untilled where I rolled down. I don't know. It was 4 or 5 foot. I don't know, some kind of Sudan
type.
And
stuff.
Got it down. After that, we sprayed it, and man, it was just it looks. I actually looked professional out there where I sowed it. And I was playing with my, it's not a new GPS system.
Right.
It's the GPS system I had for spraying.
Well, it'll work.
Yeah, and I was playing with it, and I thought, well, I'm going to try it with a drill. Well, finally, when I finally got the exact width I needed done on, anyway, I just don't have auto steer.
Right.
So anyway, things.
Well, you got to have something to do, so you might as well just steer the tractor.
Yeah. So I was, I'm sitting there looking at them dots going right or left, or telling you, you know, you're 6 inches off or stuff. But, you know, if a tractor front end goes over a little bitty hump, it'll
it moves it.
Oh yeah, it moves it. So
it's all right. This isn't Indiana.
Yeah.
So
anyway, there's a lot of good going on out there. So all right, next object.
Okay, so let's talk about small grains. So that's either wheat, rye, triticale, barley, one of those. If you're planning for early pasture, that is come and gone. And if you rolled the dice with no rainfall, you probably look like a genius right now, because it probably worked out for you.
Yeah.
And you were probably sweating bullets up to about 3 weeks ago, because it didn't like much with most of it dying. But it's worked out. So you're going to have a little bit of pasture. I don't think there's a lot of it out there.
Yeah, not right in this area. Up north there is.
Up north, yeah. I'm still selling seed now, and you know, I see a lot of drills out in the country still running. So yeah. No,
they're fixing the grasshopper damage.
Yeah, well, there was plenty of that. If you're planning, let's just talk about wheat. They'll all follow this, so we'll just talk about wheat because that's the one that's widely used. So if you're planning for harvest for grain, you really need to pull soil, at the cost of fertilizers, you really need to pull soil samples to see where you're at, see what is plant available to you. I would still recommend the Regen Ag Lab so you can actually see each fraction of what is organic, inorganic, non-organic, you know, all the different fractions, so you know for sure what you have. And then past that, pull leaf samples. Send those in and see what you're short in, and you'll be short in 2 or 3 micronutrients probably.
Pull them when?
Oh, after it's about 3 or 4 leaf stage. And it takes a little while, when the plants are that small, it takes a little while to pull a quart size Ziploc bag half full, that amount. But don't put it in a plastic bag. Put it in a paper bag and send it in so it doesn't mold.
Okay.
See where you're at there and address whatever you're short in. And I promise you, in this country, you're going to be short probably in zinc, probably in boron, maybe magnesium or manganese. But you'll be short in something. A lot depends on soil pH. And here's the reason why. The very best yield that crop is going to produce is determined in the first 45 days of that plant's life. So after that point, it's really hard to increase a yield more than maybe 10%. Now, I'm not saying if you need 75 pounds of nitrogen to go put out 75 pounds of nitrogen this fall, because that'll keep it actively growing. You don't want to go into the winter actively growing. But put out enough nitrogen that it's adequate. Address your micronutrients more than anything. And then next spring, early February, at that point, go pull more leaf samples. See where you're at then. If you grazed it, you need to add back the nitrogen that the cattle took away from you in their grazing. So typically, if you take off, it's about a third of the beef you take off per acre. So keep that in mind as you go forward. People say, well, at fertilizer prices, we really can't afford to do that. You may not be able to afford to do it all the way, but something is better than nothing.
Right.
Then in the spring, after you break dormancy, mid-February, about, depending on weather, pull those samples every 14 days, those leaf samples, send them in, see where you're at, and address those needs. And it doesn't mean get the leaf sample report back today and do it 2 weeks from now. That means do it in the next couple of days, because you're already a week out from when you pulled them.
Right.
It's really important. That's if you're trying to ramp up a yield. And you might as well, if you're growing, let's just use wheat. If you're growing wheat, just about every variety out there has got genetics in them that'll produce way more than we're doing commercially. So it's the genetics are not going to hold you back from producing a big yield.
Your soil health.
It's soil health and plant health. All soil right. health first, plant health second. And then go on into April, and I would recommend that everybody do at least a flag leaf shot of fungicide, because that's where all the nutrition, when that head gets exerted out, that's where all of the nutrition comes from to produce seed in that head. And you know, you look at a wheat head and you have blank spots down towards the bottom of that head. That's just lack of nutrition that caused that in most years. So those are the things, those are the steps that you have to do, and address each one of them as you go. Set a yield goal and then follow the steps, and you'll typically hit the yield goal unless something bad happens to you, like a hailstorm or something like that.
Let's right to ask you all okay. what we just discussed. We'll be right back. If you got any questions for Kent here on the show while he's on here today, 580-225-9697 is the Die and Ag text line. Got any questions at all? Because I'm gonna quiz him about the fungicide, and actually, he's talking about taking leaf samples, you know, every week or something like that. And you're thinking that's gonna cost. Well, if you stay on top of it, let me stop right there.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll go over that, because I got a question.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 3rd. 2,765 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 360 brought 332.50. 4 at 421 brought 325. 5 at 484 brought 292. 11 at 513 brought 276. 10 at 604 brought 253. 9 at 744 brought 230. 7 at 803 brought 229. 5 head of heifers at 481 brought 252. 4 at 508 brought 250. 7 at 528 brought 235, 15 at 587 brought 213, 9 at 612 brought 235, butcher cows were 51 to 119, butcher bulls brought 88 to 120, bred cows were 860 to 2125, pairs brought 1050 to 2000, Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
What's it like having unlimited internet from Sparklight? It's like bellying up to an all-you-can-see digital buffet and indulging in endless cat videos without getting a single data cramp. And now, Sparklight's ultra-fast, reliable internet includes unlimited data at no extra charge. Get 300 meg internet for just $39.95 a month for 18 months. No contracts, free installation. Call 888-998-8630. Sparklight, a new breed in high speed. Limited time offer. Regular rate of $70 a month applies after promotional period. Subject to change. Restrictions apply.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, You need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Hour.
No alcohol involved. Buffalo, Oklahoma. I picked it for northwestern Oklahoma. 59 degrees. 52 is the deep dew point. Humidity 77. The winds have already calmed down out there at 9 miles an hour. 10-day rain total, 0.01 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 58 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water. 0.1. Sunset tonight at 5:36. Mostly sunny and 70 today, and tonight 39, and tomorrow 57 for high. So anyway, quite a change. Okay, let's get back to with Mr. Kent Watkins here from SEI Agritech. My question. All right, so you send out a leaf sample every week, every 10 days, whatever it might be. Is it worth it? Yeah. It's worth it. I think it costs, I sent it to Regen on the corn. It costs $27.50 every time I send off leaf samples to get them analyzed. Oh, that's not too much. It really ain't that much, because I think you figured it up on 160 acres, $1.23 an acre. Mm-hmm. If you had six leaf samples done in the process of one, it comes out of basically out of dormancy up until you're done right. Doing what you can do with it. But what about the increase in your per acre performance though?
Well, I've never done this with the exception of last year, because it just never did rain,
right?
So we abandoned the project probably sometime in April, but if we're getting rainfall, and that's another thing that I need to touch on, if you're not getting rainfall, stop. There's no reason to continue to go forward and live to fight another day, I guess, is what I'm saying. But if you are getting rainfall, continue to pull the samples, fix what needs to be fixed. But the increased cost from the lab work, you got to know what you're deficient in, because at the cost of stuff now, I don't think we can just go throw out another 100 pounds of fertilizer to mask a problem that really isn't the problem to begin with.
Right.
So, yeah, the lab work costs something at a good lab, but if you're spending $1.25 an acre and you add 30 to 50 more bushels, I'll do that all day.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever I talk about increasing yields, dry land, if we're getting rainfall and if you have your soil, you know, your fertility done up front early, you top dress in the spring, and you do the normal things, and then you go ahead and address these micronutrient issues that are a big issue. I'm talking about yields of 90 to 100 dry land, and I know a bunch of guys just started laughing right there, but I've done it.
Right.
I did it over at Hydro 20 years ago, and
there's guys over there doing it now.
Yeah, so It can be done, and this isn't under the pivot. This is dry land, and it wasn't in a 3-acre field. This was on a quarter. So, yeah, it can be done. Everybody has in their mind that 30 or 40 bushels is a real good average dry land, but 30 bushel wheat don't feed the bulldog anymore. It
doesn't even scratch his belly.
No, it does not.
Well, they you talk about that, and I know it's been discussed before, not only with you, but I've seen it in articles and stuff like that. The problem with your spring top dressing is everybody's in their routine of taking 100 pounds of nitrogen or something out there and top dressing their wheat. And I've read it, I've heard you say it, is, you know, now all you're doing is making forage.
That's right.
You need to dress your microbes and all that. You might save some money in top dressing if you do some sampling.
Yeah, if you would do some sampling, see where you're really at. And, you know, it's just been kind of a understood practice that most top dressing gets done in late February, early March. That's too late.
Right.
For grain production.
For grain. Right. Yes.
Now,
We're not taking hay. We're not talking hay.
And that's typically why you see guys get disappointed, when they grew 30 bushel grain and had 70 bushel straw. Well, the main reason for that is they put their spring nitrogen down way too late, and it didn't get converted in time to feed the head. So you have to whenever you go into the reproductive stage, if you slice a stalk of wheat open, you'll see that little bitty head in there, and it just gets bigger as the season goes on. You have to have all of the nutrition requirements met when that thing starts. And if you don't, then it's just going to start peeling back your yield. Every little thing that doesn't go exactly to plan is going to peel back a little more yield, and a little more yield, and a little more yield. So to rescue a grain crop late is a waste of money and time. You're never going to do it. It's already been determined, and it's just not going to happen.
You're just going to make more hay.
That's all. So if you want wheat hay, there you go. But if you're trying to grow grain and get a yield up, a late application of fertility in the spring is not the thing to do.
Got an interesting text here I'd like to share with you.
Okay.
And it ain't about feral hogs. Anyway, if you can, in a new no-till field, wait 3 to 4 years before you start using cattle. It helps to have straw or cover built up before cattle are introduced to the program. And he calls it the aha moment.
Well, I agree with that. But that's probably in a set stocking rate scenario. But if you're moving those cattle in a cell grazing scenario,
uh-huh,
then you don't have to wait the 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Also, if you're building up a lot of straw that's not decomposing, you need to add more legumes to your system because the microbes aren't cycling.
Okay.
You add just a few more legumes, the microbes will cycle. You'll start deteriorating the straw that's on the ground.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens after this Truticale on these two places of mine.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what happens.
The other thing I want to mention about micronutrition, don't use the cheapest form of a micro. The oxides are by far the cheapest, and they're almost worthless. So step up to a sulfate base or something like that, and there are a few that you will have to use an oxide base product, but try to use as few of those oxides as possible.
Well, the talk about that while we're on this soil health and this deal. Now, we did it on my corn, mm-hmm, or my son's corn, and what about on wheat, Truticale, and rye? That carbon, the liquid of carbon I put down.
Okay, so I have a product.
Because I don't have a carbon pipeline going to my place.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. There's a political football for you. Okay, so we're a net, pretty much a net zero carbon country because of the Midwest. They do a great job in the summer sequestering carbon with their wheat, I mean, with their corn and soybeans. But anyway, in our country, we need to add carbon when we can. So I have a product that is 30% carbon, which is the highest that I've ever seen on the market for a liquid that will go through a sprayer or go through an injection system on a pivot. If you can do that, especially in a sandy soil with a pH at 1 or a little bit slightly below that, that carbon will sequester the fertilizer molecules and keep them from leaching too deeply, too deep in the soil, below the rooting zone. So anytime you can add a carbon to your fertilizer program in our country, I would recommend you do that, especially if you have a pH below 1 or below.
Right.
You can actually see the difference.
So on carbon, I had it in pivot, so it didn't matter. What about if it's dry land, if you apply carbon down with something, does it have to get a rain watered in immediately, or can it hang out there for a little bit?
The product I have can hang out there for however long it takes. There, you be careful whenever you're buying these kind of products because there's a lot of snake oils in that business.
I love it when you say that.
Well, it's just the truth. The micro business almost killed themselves because there was a lot of snake oils early. All those guys are gone, and now it's just the real stuff now. But you know, just know what you're buying, understand what you're buying, understand how you're using it, and have reasonable expectations. So first year out, if you decide, yeah, I'm going to do that, don't expect to hit one over the wall the first year because you're likely not going to. But you can build from there into a yield that you can hit over the wall.
You just said it, and I caught it, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but you said a pH of 1 or over. Were you talking about the organic rate? Or you said pH.
I said pH.
Yeah.
I meant the organic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. And then
Think about what I meant, not what I said.
It seemed like it worked pretty good.
Yeah.
On down there, minus the hog damage, you know, it seemed like it was working pretty good down there. So anyway, we're gonna take a Taylor Ranch break, and when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about the Taylor Ranch beef. And give you your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, or not Long Ranger forecast, your ag forecast for you. Pick a city down in southwestern Oklahoma, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Department of Veterans Affairs provides veterans and their families with medical care, financial aid for education, home loan guarantees, and other benefits to help repay them for the sacrifices they made in response to their country's call. And on Veterans Day, we salute all American veterans across the land and right here at home.
Smith Ag Center knows that veterans believe in duty, honor, country. Those in the armed services are special people. Thank you. From Smith Ag Center in Cheyenne.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hollis, Oklahoma. Capital of Kiowa, not capital of Kiowa County, Harmon County. I get that mixed. I don't even know why I get that mixed up. Anyway, to me, H's, Hollis, Harmon County. Got it. Great. They currently at 60 degrees. The winds are out of the west at 13 miles an hour. Dew points at 34. Humidity is very low, 13%. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 61 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.2. Sunset 5:40 today, 90 degrees. Actually, you're there. You're at 91 right now. Winds are out of the northwest at 15 miles an hour tonight. 46 degrees. North winds 18 to 21 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 30% chance of rain. 56 for a high with northeast winds. How about that? We got a chance of rain coming in. Great outcomes take planning and patience. Taylor Ranch beef is an excellent example of this. If you are ordering for December or January delivery, Taylor Ranch has been working on those steaks for the past 2.5 years. They start with hand selecting the best combination carcass and muscle AI bulls in the Angus breed, utilize top nutrition and health protocols, and give the animals the best possible care. The end result is a mouth-watering ribeye that gives you a great eating experience. That's Taylor Ranch. They develop every animal if it was going to be served on their own table. Quarters, halves, or whole beef available. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. In the studio with me today, Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. Okay, we were talking about all the nutrition, but, man, you've been doing some construction around the old shop down there.
Yep, we are about maybe 10 days away from starting to blend feed for livestock nutrition centers. They needed a blender that was in the northern part of their territory. They have blending facilities in Quanah, Texas, but they needed somebody up here, so we agreed that we would start blending those rations for them, like the Maxi Gain, commercial finisher, sheep and goat feed, those things that the textured feeds.
Right.
We're going to start blending those for them. It'll be less than truckload lots this year, so that'll either be guys bringing in feeders or feed buggies or super sacks.
right,
is how we'd be doing it this year.
Man, but I've been learning a lot about super sacks and those black seed boxes quite a bit in the last week.
Did you learn that they will fly off the back of your pickup at 60 miles
an hour? You know, you're bringing up a sore subject.
Yeah.
Because here's my rant for the day that happened yesterday. That thing flew off. I had it strapped down.
It was my box, by the way.
Yeah, it was his box. Anyway, I had it strapped down, and I put the loose end of the strap underneath a 50-pound sack of corn. Well, anyway, going down the road, and I was only going 45 or 50. I was taking it because it sticks up way above my pickup cap. Anyway, it flew off when the strap come out from underneath the corn, and the back tire got it, and it just ripped that strap off. Well, that lightweight thing's going off. In the middle of Highway 6, between Elk City and Poppies, Triggers, 21 vehicles drove by. Not one of them stopped and helped me. What the heck's wrong with you people? Luckily, I got hydraulics.
So, they saw who it was.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, you're going to – you got feeders. You even got some feeders.
Yep. We're going to try something new that's probably never been done in this area. We've bought some feeders, and we're going to rent those feeders. Along, you buy the feed, and then there's a rental fee for the feeders themselves. But for big guys, that's not going to interest them. But for guys, smaller guys who don't want to spend $5,000 for a feeder, you can rent one from me and use it. You know, however long you need to use it, and bring it back, and it's not sitting out your place with tires rotting off of it and having to deal with bearings and all that. So if it fits you, we've got feeders, and three of them are rented out already.
And you got the baby cage feeders on them too.
Yeah, we've got the creep gates on the new ones on three of them. Three of them. We've got the creep gates on there. So we're gonna try that, see how that works. Friend of mine up north, they do it. Well, they've got about 75 feeders that they started out with three.
That's a lot of bearings.
Now they've got 75. They buy a few tires every year and bearings. And
right.
They just keep them up and they keep them out. So that's going to be an added service that we're going to have to go along with our LNC fee.
And you think that's what, 10 days out?
Probably so. Yeah, we're just kind of finishing up. Doing a few things, but yeah, I would say we'll be blending in 10 days.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Because you got a really nice blender there.
Yeah, and I want to utilize it as much as possible.
Right. Have you got any? Have you got any rye or Truticale seed left to sell?
Got a little bit of both.
Right.
Really tight on the Truticale. Not quite as tight on the rye, but it's just about gone.
Right. Yeah, because there's still people out there sowing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And it will be this week and next, and it's going to be pretty much over.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, what do you want to leave your latest thoughts with?
Think about on your pasture and range to eliminate your hard-to-control weeds like mare's tail, buffalo burr, giant ragweed. I'm not saying spray every pasture, but if you got areas of the pasture that you need to spray, the fall would be a great time to do that to stop those from overwintering. It's not going to stop new ones coming up next spring, but it'll stop the overwintering rosettes that you have out there right now.
I seen some yesterday.
Yes, especially mare's tail.
Yes.
Yeah. They're the size of a quarter now, and by next February, they'll be the size of your hat as a rosette, and they're going to be hard to control, as everybody knows. Duracor is a good product to use on them if you haven't used it. You might think about using it, switching out 1 year from your normal tank mix that you do. It's about a buck an acre higher, but it works. Works right. Good.
Stupid. I asked you this the other day, but I'm going to shamefully ask this on the radio. Because I'm not a chemical person. That's why I hire the professionals. Why can you not put down a pre-emergent for, like, stickers when you got wheat, rye, or Truticale on the ground?
Because those are all annuals.
Right.
And all of the pre-emergence will kill annuals.
Annuals. There you go. I learned that the other day.
There you go.
Good thing I don't have a license.
If you had a license, you would know that. Well, at least you're supposed to know that.
Yeah.
Well, I know it now. That's like I said, I'm pretty easy with Roundup. I can handle that and stuff like that. But I was just thinking, man, I need to get a handle on this one wheat field of mine that's really bad with stickers.
Well, after wheat harvest, they'll be up.
Right.
And you just go in there and smoke them with a small rate of Roundup and start in on them that way.
Yeah, that's all I can do. Man, it's been a good day. Kent, thanks as always for coming by the studio. We had some precipitation. Let's see, what kind of range would you recommend someone haul a loaded feeder? Get tires on it, I'd go 100 miles. I wouldn't worry about the mileage.
No, if it's roadworthy, it's roadworthy.
Oh, yeah. The major's going to come see you. I can tell it right now. Anyway, you guys have a great day. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. God bless.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number one rated, 96.5 KE.